Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk to you about Turkey. Now, if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been talking about Turkey for quite a long time now and been following the progress. And the latest inflation figures have just been released for April. And it shows that we are now at a new 20-year high. So we'll go through the details of what's been happening in April and how that compares to where we were in March. We'll have a look at what's been going on with regards to the factory activity. As you'll know, Turkey is a net importer of goods and its economy is based on a low labour manufacturing industry. So the factory output figures are really important when we're looking at the trends and what's likely to happen for Turkey going forward. So we'll get into some detail on that. We'll recap on where we are with regards to the energy market. The energy purchases are the major part of the Turkish economy right now, and that's what's causing them the major problems. And so we'll go through where we are. And then I want to go through what the relationship is with some of the Arab nations, because Turkey has been building its bridges. It's been trying to repair its relationship with both the UAE and Saudi Arabia. So I'll go through some history on what's happened with the relationship historically and what the potential is going forward. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen with Turkey over the next 3 to 6 months, what the implications of the Ukraine war are on Turkey, and what the broader implications are for the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below, where you'll find the link to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon, and also YouTube's Super Thanks feature. The annual rate of inflation for Turkey has now risen to 70%. And compares to the annual level of 61% that we saw in March. So this represents a material increase on where we were this time last month. Consumer prices in April rose 7.25%, which is really concerning. Because if you annualise a monthly rate of 7.25%, that gets you to a rate that is significantly higher than 70%. So the trend here is that we are seeing increasing inflation month on month. So it's very likely Turkey is heading towards an annualized rate of closer to 100%. On an annualized basis, transportation costs, which obviously include energy prices, are up 106%. So they're significantly higher than the overall basket 70% inflation rate. And food and drink prices are also up 89%, which is obviously highly concerning because everybody has to buy food. And within the month of April, the increase in food and drink prices was 13.4%. So if you annualize 13.4%, you're looking at somewhere in the region of 150% inflation for food prices. And if you look at this graph, it plots the rate of inflation over the last couple of years. And we can see that inflation took off towards the end of 2021 when Turkey decided to introduce its counterintuitive policy of reducing interest rates at the time of extremely high inflation. So you can see that at the turning point, inflation was sitting at about 20%, and Turkey decided to reduce its interest rates by 500 basis points. And that led to both a dramatic fall in the value of the Turkish lira and a rise in inflation. One of the metrics that's really important for any country, but particularly for Turkey, is the producer price index. And this is quite commonly referred to as the factory gate price. The producer price index for the last 12 months is now running at a rate of 122% inflation. And that's really bad news because producer prices will be passed on to consumers as and when those products hit the shelves. So 122% producer price index means that consumer prices are definitely going to continue rising in the next 3 to 6 months in Turkey. And I thought this graph was worth sharing. Now, this is a forecast produced by JP Morgan, the American investment bank, which is showing what they expect inflation to be in a variety of countries throughout the course of the next 18 months. And you can see that JP Morgan was originally forecasting that inflation would peak at just under 70% in April for Turkey and would gradually start coming down throughout the rest of 2022 and then fall dramatically in 2023 and get to a level of less than 20% by April next year. Now, given the fact that we are already at 70% and the Russian war is still going on, so we're not seeing any reduction in energy prices anytime soon, this forecast looks highly optimistic. I think it is far more likely that inflation will carry on rising over the next 3 to 6 months in Turkey and could easily hit 100% before the end of 2023. So I don't think that this graph represents a realistic expectation of the future given where we are now and given what's going on in the global economy with regards to energy prices and food prices, which are two of the biggest imports for Turkey and therefore have a massive impact on Turkey's inflation levels. The other interesting point to note from this graph is that JP Morgan are also forecasting that inflation will peak in Russia around now, around April 2022, and then will level off and come back down to a more normalized level in 2023. I think that also looks optimistic. A lot of the forecasters are saying that they think that inflation will rise above 20% in Russia, and it could easily get to 30% or higher. So I'm not really that impressed with JP Morgan's forecasts. I don't think they've got it right. I think they're being too conservative, and I think we will see inflation continuing to rise as we see this conflict continuing and energy prices and food prices stay as high as they are. Turkey's economy is highly dependent on its manufacturing industry. Turkey imports a lot of raw materials and components and parts and then produces finished goods using its low labor economy. And as a result of that, the factory activity metrics are really important when looking at what's going on in Turkey and forecasting what's likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months. Turkish manufacturing activity slowed in April due to fragile demand, supply pressures, and the impacts of the war in Ukraine. The Purchasing Managers Index for manufacturing declined to 49.2 in April, which represents a critical level because once this index is below 50 points, then that means that the country is contracting rather than expanding. Something that is highly concerning from Turkey's perspective is that manufacturing firms reported difficulties in securing new business, leading to a scaling back of output. This was mainly due to the weakness of the Turkish lira and the ongoing Ukraine war. A combination of rising prices and the Ukraine war resulted in a slowdown in new export orders during April. Input costs, which are raw materials and energy, continued to increase markedly, and this in turn reflected on the manufacturer's output prices. Suppliers' delivery times lengthened amid difficulty securing raw materials, which contributed to a slowdown in purchasing activity. So what this data tells us is that Turkey is now struggling with regards to the increase in all of its input prices. So that's a combination of the increase in energy costs, so the costs of electricity and oil and natural gas, and also the increase in raw material prices. We've seen commodity prices rise as a direct result of the war. So all of those price rises are making Turkey less competitive in the international markets because they have to buy in all of their energy and all their raw materials, they are subject to movements in those prices. So as the war has gone on and all of the commodity prices have gone up dramatically, it's meant that Turkey is now more expensive in the international markets. In addition to those cost increases, Turkey is also experiencing problems with its supply chain. And that's because we've got a lot of shift right now in the global economy. Because a lot of countries are moving away from buying things from Russia and trying to relocate where they're sourcing things from, it's causing pressure on the supply chains, and Turkey is now experiencing problems because of that. I thought it was worth recapping on the problems that Turkey are experiencing and what the drivers for those are. The main issue that Turkey has is that it has to import the vast majority of all of its energy requirements. So it imports large amounts of oil and gasoline and also huge amounts of natural gas, which it uses to produce electricity. And because of the war in Ukraine, we have seen a massive increase in the cost of oil and natural gas. And that has really hurt the Turkish economy because they're exposed to those international prices. And so because they're now having to pay more for their gas, it means that they're having to charge more for electricity. And the Turkish economy is dependent on the manufacturing sector. It's a low labour economy, so it imports lots of things, it manufactures them, and then it exports the finished products. And because electricity prices have gone up so much, it's causing problems with regards to their cost effectiveness and also inflation. The other major import for Turkey is food. So it imports a lot of wheat and other basic materials. And we've also seen a huge increase in food costs because of the war, around about 40% increase since the start of 2022. So all of those factors are putting pressure on the Turkish economy. But one of the big problems that Turkey has is with regards to currency. Because oil and natural gas purchases are made in dollars and euros, it needs lots of foreign currency to be able to continue with those purchases. And the fall in the value of the lira really hurt the Turkish economy. We've seen the Turkish lira fall by around about 50% since the start of 2021. And that's meant that all of those purchases in euros and dollars are now significantly more expensive for Turkey. So that's put pressure on the economy. But it's also putting pressure in terms of actually accessing enough currency to be able to keep paying for all of those energy supplies. So one of the things that Turkey is trying to put in place to be able to solve these problems are currency swaps. And Turkey currently has a large amount of currency swaps with a variety of nations. And most recently, it put in place a $5 billion currency swap with the UAE. And that was quite a landmark moment for Turkey because the relationship with the UAE and other Arab nations have not been good historically. And if Turkey is going to find a way out of this current crisis, it may well decide that building those future relationships with a lot of the Arab nations is the way forward. So I thought in this video, it was worth touching upon what's been going on between Turkey, the UAE and Saudi Arabia, which are two of its main partners that it's trying to improve the relationships with. What happened in the past and where we are right now? Turkey's relationship with both United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia has been strained for the last 10 years or so. The Arab Spring, as it's been called, was a wave of pro-democracy protests and uprisings that took place in the Middle East and North Africa beginning in 2010 and 2011, which challenged some of the region's authoritarian regimes. The wave of protests began in Tunisia and Egypt, which both toppled their existing regimes and inspired similar attempts in other Arab countries, including Libya, Yemen, Syria, and Bahrain. President Erdogan and Turkey were seen to be supporters of these uprisings, and this went against the beliefs of the UAE and Saudi Arabia, and that's when a lot of the tension between the nations started. The relationship deteriorated further in 2016 when there was an attempted coup on President Erdogan's regime, which was rumoured to be supported by the UAE. And the relationship got worse still in 2019 when Turkey took the opposite side to Saudi Arabia and the UAE in Libya's civil war. So the relationship was really not going well for Turkey. However, President Erdogan is quite a pragmatic leader, and he's obviously decided that there is a lot of benefit to building bridges and building those relationships back up with these two oil-rich and very wealthy nations. Signs of an improvement in the relationship with the UAE first came in the summer of 2021 with a surprise visit to Turkey by the UAE's National Security Advisor, and that was followed up by a call between the two leaders. And since that time, there's been a clear shared desire to recalibrate both their foreign policies in a way that would benefit the economies of both countries. And this has had a really beneficial effect on the Turkish economy. The UAE has announced a $10 billion Turkey investment fund, and in February 2022 put a $5 billion currency swap in place to boost Turkey's foreign exchange reserves. The two nations have now officially launched talks on a comprehensive economic partnership agreement, which is expected to double trade between the two countries. This agreement will cut tariffs, promote free movement of goods, facilitate capital flows and reduce trade barriers, which will make it easier than ever to do business. Now, this is a really interesting development because the UAE is an oil-rich nation and Turkey is a net importer of oil and gasoline. Now, Turkey has remained entirely neutral on the Russian situation. It hasn't come out and made any statements against Russia, so it will continue to trade with Russia. But it wants to reduce its reliance on Russia, and therefore, by developing this relationship with the UAE, firstly, it gives it more options in terms of buying and sourcing oil and gasoline. But secondly, it's got a country that is willing to put investment into Turkey. And in February this year, the UAE provided a Sukuk bond for Turkey. And a Sukuk bond is a way of raising money in the international markets that complies with Muslim law. So this potentially could be a lucrative form of fundraising for Turkey going forward. For the reasons we touched on earlier, the relationship with Saudi Arabia has been strained, but there's also been another factor in that relationship. In 2018, a Saudi journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, was killed and dismembered by a Saudi hit squad at the kingdom's consulate in Istanbul in Turkey. At the time of this assassination, President Erdogan accused the highest levels of the Saudi government for giving the order for the murder. This situation caused the relations between the two countries to hit an all-time low. However, President Erdogan has now gone on a mission to try to rebuild this relationship. President Erdogan has now dropped the trial over the killing of the Saudi journalist and has recently paid a visit to Saudi Arabia where he sought to mend frayed ties and said that the sides were determined to accelerate efforts for the common interests and stability of the region. Turkey and Saudi Arabia have a common will to reactivate a great economic potential between the two countries, he said. So this is a clear U-turn by President Erdogan, and I think he's doing this predominantly to make sure that he has access to friendly nations who have large amounts of oil, but also large amounts of cash, because Saudi Arabia have the ability to invest large amounts of money into infrastructure in Turkey, but also to put more of these currency swaps in place and more sukuk bonds. So they could be a really good source of funding going forward. And in exchange for that, Turkey will also be allowed to do more business. They'll be allowed to export more product to Saudi Arabia. And that means that it will help the Turkish industry and help the Turkish economy. So this is a really pragmatic step by President Erdogan. He's trying to repair these relationships and put in place good trading situations and good investment partners for the future. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, clearly the latest inflation figures that we're seeing from Turkey are very concerning. 70% inflation is off the scale. This is right up there in terms of the world levels of inflation. I recently showed you a table that had the top 10 countries in terms of inflation, and Turkey is right up there alongside Venezuela and lots of other crazy countries. So 70% really is not sustainable. It's impossible for the people of Turkey to be able to afford to keep paying for things when prices are rising so rapidly. So something needs to be done to stop this situation, and there isn't anything in the near term that's going to really bring this back down. Turkey is a net importer and it is massively exposed to the energy prices and food prices in the international markets. And the direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine is that we have seen all of those prices go up dramatically. So Turkey is right at the sharp end of the international markets right now. And that's why the inflation is so high. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be any end in sight to this war. It's likely to carry on going on for the foreseeable future. And that means that those prices are going to remain very high. So unlike JP Morgan's forecast, I don't think we're going to see a rapid reduction in inflation in Turkey. In fact, it's likely that we will see the rate staying high and possibly could even get up to 100%. And that's putting a lot of pressure on the economy, but it's also putting a lot of pressure on Turkey's currency reserves because they're having to pay for all of these goods in dollars and euros, and they just don't have enough. And BOTAŞ, which is the Turkish nationalized gas company, buys all of the gas on behalf of the nation. And it is running at massive losses, billions of dollars per month right now. And that's all adding pressure on the Turkish economy, but also onto the Turkish lira. So the Turkish lira has stabilized somewhat, but we believe that that's because the Turkish Central Bank is continuing to buy lira in the international markets using its currency reserves. And they've introduced a variety of schemes, asking exporters to hand over their currency, asking the nationals to hand over their currency, and offering things like Turkish citizenship in exchange for foreign currency sales of property. But the bottom line is that they are running short of currency. And if they run out of cash, then we're going to have a position where Turkey could default on all of its international debt. So that's why President Erdogan is now reaching out to very rich neighbours like Saudi Arabia and the UAE in order to build those relationships so he can access money when he needs it most. He doesn't want Turkey to go into default. He doesn't want to be put into that difficult situation. So he's building relationships in order to access more funding whilst these very high energy costs are still abound. But as it sits right now, the outlook is really grim. The next 3 to 6 months are likely to see very high levels of energy costs and very high levels of food costs. And that is going to put even more pressure on the Turkish economy. And at some point, something will have to give. Either they'll default on those international loans, or they'll need a bailout, or they'll turn to one of these friendly nations and put some sort of relationship in place that solves the problem. But either way, it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens. I'll keep you posted on any future news and developments as and when I come across them. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I know it's getting really boring by now, but I still need to ask you to watch some of those videos. We're still not quite there. We are now at 3,400 hours of watch time. So only 600 hours to go. So we're very close to hitting that target and getting this experiment started. But if you have the time and the inclination, please jump over to Joe Blogs 2, watch one or two of the videos, click on the playlist if you've got time, and that will really help us get to that point where we can start this experiment for real, and I can start posting some really interesting finishes to these videos to tell you about what's actually happening. So thanks a lot for watching this part of the video, and thanks again for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.